Good to see everyone here this evening and here for our midweek service. Always enjoy the midweek service. Kind of gives you that extra push to finish out the week. I want to study with you just a little bit this evening about the parable of the sower. And I know it's a parable we've heard taught on a lot, and I want to use it tonight to really focus on preparing the soil of the heart. And I want to take that thought and focus that on preparing the soil of the heart to receive that word, and preparing ourselves before we come to the service. Are we ready to receive the word? Preparing our heart if our study time is in the morning, if our reading time is in the morning, are we preparing the heart to receive the word and allow that word to have the desired effect? Anytime we talk about the word or listening to it, studying it or whatever, I believe there's a mindset that needs to go in before we start. We can't really kind of just wait and flip on a switch. We need to be ready to receive the word before we take or find ourselves in those times. So I want to use that to set the mindset this evening as we start our study. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8 is where I'm going to be reading from tonight, and that's going to be our text. And we'll come back and look at that from time to time, so you might want to hold your spot there. But in Luke 8, in verse number 4 through 8, Jesus talks about the parable here, and it says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So here we have this parable. Jesus tells us this story. Now Jesus spoke in parables. He didn't speak in fables. He didn't speak in science fiction type tales or anything like that. He spoke in parables, which are stories that have application to our lives that teach. And it was something that people could attach to and learn from as he told this story and this parable here. And here's this guy, it says he went out to sow seed. He scattered the seed on a lot of different types of soil. He was non-discriminatory when it was time to sow that seed. He saw some place and threw some over here, threw some there. He didn't take time to judge and analyze every little strip or piece of ground before he threw the seed out. He just threw the seed out because he knew that once that seed found the right soil, then it would do the job that it was made to do, which was grow and sprout and bring forth fruit. Now, Jesus uses this, and think about the time that he's talking here and the time he's walking and teaching other people. There's a lot of people who have experience with seed. There's a lot of people right there in this group that he's talking to that grow stuff. They have crops. A lot of them may depend on those crops to feed their family and to sell and do things like this. So this meant something to those people. You know, we don't necessarily, as many of us, grow and farm in that way as at one time. But we understand the analogy there. Now, he gives the explanation in verses 11 through 15. And it's interesting to hear and read where he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Whenever Christ says that, he's making the point that I've got some good teaching here and you need to pay attention. So listen up to what I'm about to tell you. Because he gives the explanation here in a minute. He wasn't telling them how to grow corn or tomatoes or anything like that. That wasn't his purpose. But he said, I'm going to use this and I want you to listen to the teaching. Now in verse 11, he gives the explanation here. He says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these having no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches, and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest heart, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now he talks about this explanation here, and he's talking about each of these different types of soil representing the different types of hearts in men. And he's talking about what happens when the same seed falls on different types of soil. And he said, now these that are the wayside, in verse number 12, he said, these are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of... I skipped down to verse 13. These by the wayside are they that when they hear, then the devil comes and takes the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now what's interesting about this is they still heard the word. You know, there wasn't the excuse very clearly, but yet their focus was elsewhere. Their focus was on other things. Their attention wasn't given to the word. It wasn't important to them when they received it. Their heart wasn't prepared to receive the word and let it do its job and bring forth fruit. Now in James chapter 1 and verse 23 through 24, James 1 verse 23 and 24 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, we have to hear the word and put it into action. That word's got to be something that, just like a tool, we use it in everyday life. We can't just hear it and not apply it. But a lot of times our focus is not on the word. We come to church, yet we really aren't prepared to receive the word. We sit down and read the Bible, but maybe we're really not prepared to study and hear the words of our Lord and Savior and what He has to teach us. And so we read it, and 30 minutes later, we couldn't tell anybody we run into one thing we read. Couldn't tell them what verse, what chapter, New Testament, Old Testament. I know I read it, but I don't know anything else. You see, our heart wasn't prepared to receive it, whether it's when we hear it in a sermon or study or something like that, or when we're sitting down. Now in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 26, Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 26 and 27, he says here, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, he is explaining here in another parable about two guys that built houses, one on a rock, one on the sand. And again, there's a principle here. They both heard. Both of these heard the word. It just makes a difference whether one obeys, whether one applies it, puts it to use, or whether it goes in one ear and out the other. If the heart is not prepared to receive the word, then we may end up being like the guy that built on the sand. Because without the word being planted in an honest and good heart that is prepared to receive it and allow it to work, we can't build that strong house. And then when our focus is elsewhere and we're not focusing on that word and desiring it, then it's easy for the other things of this world and the devil to come and take it out of our hearts. Now, he's not going to knock on your door and say, I'd like to remove that word, please. But understand, there's a lot of things in this world that grabs our attention. You know, we have become like bass. I mean, we just jump after the first shiny object that swims by. And far too often, just like that bass, we end up getting hooked and reeled in. You know, we can't afford to be like that. We need to focus on the word and let it do its job. Now in verse 13, he talks about those on the rock. Well, he's talking about a heart in this case too. What type of heart was this? Well, he says they that were on the rock are they which when they hear, well, see, they heard too. They heard the very same seed, the same word. It says they received the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. They received it with joy. They were happy about it at first, but yet it took no root within their heart. And because they had no root, they fell prey to temptations. You know, a plant that grows on something and it doesn't have that strong root to hold it, it's not going to last. It's not going to be nourished. It's not going to be strong enough to withstand the trials and the storms that are coming its way, and it's very easily ripped up, plucked up, or blown down. Because that root is what gives it stability, and that root is also what nourishes it. Struggles and trials are guaranteed, in this life. Guaranteed. Now, I'm not saying you're guaranteed specific trials and struggles versus someone else who's guaranteed others. That's not what I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But I believe the Bible is very clear about being in this world. There's just some things you got to put up with, you got to deal with, and you got to go through. But how are we going to handle those? You know, if we handle them right, and with the Word being rooted in our heart, then we can fight off these battles, we can get through these struggles, and remain true. You see, the differences between the saved and the not is not that the different battles that they end up fighting, it's how they end up fighting them. Because far too many people look at these struggles and allow them to pull them off the straight and narrow path, and we can't afford to be like that. Let's look at James chapter 1 and verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." He didn't say, "Blessed is the man that gets to experience temptation." He didn't say, "Blessed is the man that has temptation that just come upon him all the time." He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." Now, what does that mean, to endure? To endure means to get through it without falling away, to get through it and remain truthful, and to be truthful during the process. Look at Psalm 119 verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. We talk about enduring and having these struggles and not falling away and not giving in to sin. The psalmist writes here, he says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? Why have I hid the word in my heart? That I might not sin against thee. You see, that's why we allow the word to root down deep in our heart. That's why we need to make sure our heart is prepared so that the seed of the Word of God can grow, and that it can be rooted in there, so that we can endure these trying times and not fall away. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, a very familiar verse to us. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth here, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." There's nothing, no temptation that has been put in front of you, but such is common to man. Now read that verse and then listen to all the stuff that you hear out there in the world about how God's doing this to me and this is happening to me and all this stuff. What this verse says is you're not faced with anything any more than any other common guy has faced. And it says God is faithful, and He will not allow you to suffer to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. A friend of mine going through some stuff a while back, years ago, he was struggling and facing some things, and I said, "You know, God does not put more upon us than we're able to bear." He said, "I know, but," he said, "sometimes I wish He didn't have so much confidence in me." And I think we kind of feel that way sometimes. We feel like, "Man, I just don't know if I can handle this." Well, I want you to understand, God knows you can handle it. God has never set an expectation for you that you could not achieve. He has never once told you to do something that was impossible for you to do. He understands we're not perfect. He understands that we struggle and things like that. And that's why Christ died for our sins. But you think about this for a minute. Every time that I go through life, a lot of those mistakes that I make, deep down, I could have made a different choice. I really could have chose to say something different. I really could have chose to think something different. I really could have made a different decision in my actions. You see, God's expectations of me are not more than He has confidence that I can achieve, and the trials and tribulations of this life are not more than I can bear. And I think we should find comfort in that, in knowing the confidence that our God and our Father has in us. And if our heart is prepared correctly, the Word will get rooted down in our heart, and it gives us even more strength to get through these things. Now back in verse 14 of Luke chapter 8, he talks about those that fell among the thorns. He says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." You know, it's hard to grow a good crop of anything when that field is planted full of weeds. It's just tough. I mean, you got different plants fighting for the same nutrition. You got other plants that are blocking out the sun. You know, it's just tough to grow a crop full of weeds. That's why farmers spend so much time prepping their ground, getting it ready, getting those weeds out of the way so that the good crop can grow. I'm just curious, how much time do we spend weeding our hearts? Getting rid of the things that are not allowing us to receive the Word. You know, when we talk about preparing the soil of the heart, sometimes that means we have to do without some other things and put away some other things in order for the Word to be put in our heart for it to grow. He talks about these here. He said they're among the thorns. He said they heard, once again. They heard, didn't they? But then they go forth and they're choked. They have cares and riches and pleasures that choke the growth of that Word. And because of that, that Word brought no fruit to perfection. Too much concern for the cares of this life. Too much reaching for that, the gold ring or whatever else we look at, whether it be the actual riches or just simple pleasures of life. Too much concern about that keeps the Word from growing the way it should be in our hearts. Look at Matthew 6 and verse 33 through 34. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, beginning there, another familiar passage to us. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now he's talking about those that might be concerned about what do we eat, what do we drink, what will we be clothed with. And he says, don't allow that to get in the way of your service. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, how many times have we let those cares and those concerns for the riches, the pleasures of life, the things that are going around us, keep us from studying, keep us from coming to church and listening to the sermon, listening to the Word? And how much time, even when we do sit down and read and study the Bible, are we really not focused on it because we've got those other things that we're concerned about? You see, we need to weed our heart. We need to get those things out so that the Word can be allowed in and grow and prosper. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9 talks about those that would be rich. He says here, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." I've read this so many times over the years, and I just think of someone who has taken an arrow or some sharp object and hurting themselves, you know, wounding themselves. And that's what he likens it to here, Paul does, when he's writing to Timothy. He said, they've pierced themselves through. No man in his right mind pierces himself through to wound himself. But yet those that will be rich and let the love of money take root in their heart, that's what happens. You know what's funny? He says, but they that will be rich. You know, covetousness and greed and the desire for the earthly wealth and everything, that does not just attach itself to certain tax brackets. You know, you can be covetous and have everything in the world. And you can be covetous and have nothing. Covetousness has to do with the desire, the yearning, that strong will to have something. And we can't afford to have that strong desire in our life, because when we have that, it doesn't allow us to prepare the heart, because our heart's not focused where it needs to be. We're too busy chasing these other things that are only temporary. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse number 24 through 26. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul?" Let's say we did win the race for the earthly wealth and riches. Let's say we won that race, lapped everybody, and just left them looking far behind. And we had gained the whole world. We had accumulated and piled up riches. What good does it do to us? There's nothing that says it's wrong to have those things. But when those things and the desire for those things takes root in our heart and becomes a priority, then that's what grows. Because that's what's given the time and the focus. And because of that, it chokes out what word we do hear. And sometimes we really don't even hear, because our heart is not prepared. It's centered on other things. But back in Luke chapter 8, he talks about some seed that fell on the good ground. And he talks about that seed and he says, you know, that seed brought forth great crops. It was profitable. It was fruitful. He says in verse 15, he says, They that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. See, when the seed, the word of God, falls on an honest and good heart, this is what happens. It keeps it, meaning it hides it. It puts it to use. It allows it to root. It allows it to have growth. And it brings forth fruit with patience. It brings forth that fruit. It doesn't quit because things all of a sudden didn't happen, you know, in 24 hours, but it brings forth fruit with patience. We need to prepare our hearts to receive the word so that our hearts are that good and honest heart. So it's that good soil to where that seed finds that soil and it immediately goes to work. And it sprouts and it takes root. We need to have that honest and good heart. We need to value the word. And when we do that, we're going to prepare our hearts to receive, whether it's before we come to church and we're excited to hear another study from God's word, or it's before we either get up or before we go to bed or before our study time. We're excited to read and we're excited to learn more of the truths that are found in God's word. Not only that, we'll submit to it. Because if we don't submit to the word of God and allow it to have action in our lives, then we still can't bring forth the fruit. What does a good and honest heart do? The good and honest heart receives the word, obeys it, and brings forth fruit. John chapter 14 and verse number 15. Very simple. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If you love me, keep my commandments. So what would it say if we flip those, if we were to say we're not keeping His commandments? Well, I believe the Bible would be clear in stating that we don't love the Lord. Because if you don't love me, He would say it in a different way. If you don't love me, then don't keep my commandments. But if you do love me, keep my commandments. If we prepare our hearts for the word and we desire it and we submit to it, then we're going to be better equipped to keep the commandments of our Lord, and we're going to bring forth fruit with patience. What does a good and honest heart do with the word? Well, studied with someone one time and we got down to the bottom of our study and to the end, and someone had, they had seen it and yet did not act on anything. And so they had walked away, and someone asked me, said, "What on earth do we do?" And I said, "Have patience. Nothing you and I can do anyway. We're just delivering the word." Well, a few days later, said person made the right choice and obeyed the gospel. You know, it's not about us. It's not about me. You see, the word is what does the work. And a good and honest heart will receive the word and act upon it with joy. John chapter 15 and verse number 5 through 8. John 15 verse 5 through 8. It says here, Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." The good and honest heart receives the word and brings forth much fruit with patience, and by doing so, God is glorified because His disciples are bringing forth that fruit. If our hearts are not prepared to receive the word, it can't root in our lives, root in our hearts, and grow and help us produce that fruit. So preparing our hearts to receive the word is vital. And it's something we need to be having a conscience effort for all the time. Always working and always focusing on the heart and making sure my heart's right. You know, there's a lot of times I read the Bible and I hear lessons and things like that, and I'll be honest with you, I don't like what it says. I don't like it one bit because it's convicting. But you know, if I love the Lord and I want to go to heaven and I want to submit to Him and serve Him, then I prepare my heart to receive that word and then let it have the change it needs. But you know, a crusty old black heart ain't going to do anything with the word. It's going to reject it. And because of that, that life is not going to bring forth much fruit. And with no fruit, God is not glorified. So I leave the lesson with you tonight. I hope these things inspire us all to put more attention to preparing our hearts for the word of God. I hope we value the word of God more and more each and every day. You know, when you think about what God went through, what Christ went through, so that you and I could have these scriptures, so that we could have this word, we should be moved. And we should be moved to receive it with love, with joy. And it should be something that we desire to have. It should not be something that we take lightly. I don't know the condition of the heart tonight, but Christ does. And you do. You know the condition of your own heart. Maybe it hasn't been being prepared like it should. Well, I want you to know there are people here who want to pray with you and pray for you and help give you strength and let you know we're all in the same battle here. We love each other and we want to help each other through these battles. Maybe you haven't received the word and obeyed the gospel. Maybe you haven't become a child of His. If you want to do that tonight, we stand ready to assist you with that as well. If we can help one of either class tonight, we invite you to come and take a seat on the front pew while we stand and sing the next song.